We are wrapping up the series on building each other up. And today specifically, we're going to talk about bringing others on your journey in order to build them up. We build up others and we bring them, and it's called discipleship in the Bible, but that's a word that not everybody understands. But let's read it. Matthew 28, 19. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So, how do we bring people on the journey with us? Like, that's a nice verse, but how do you do that? Maybe you've wondered that. You hear me talking about that? Well, how? Let me give you some really plain, practical ways of how you bring others on the journey with you. The first simple, easy way, bring others on this journey by inviting them to church. There's a story in John chapter 1, and it's the story where Philip invites Nathanael to come where Jesus is doing his thing, which would have been that time frame's church. And it says this, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? So he invites him to come, and the first response from Nathanael is, are you for real? Nathanael has a little bit of a bias towards people from Nazareth. In other words, he is not wanting to go. But I love the answer that Philip gives. You see, he says, come and see for yourself. And as they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know about me? Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus asked him, do you believe this just because I told you that I'd seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. And Jesus goes on to tell him, you're going to see angels coming down from heaven and going back up. Like, you're going to see things spiritual that you couldn't believe. You see, Nathanael was invited by someone who cared about him and said, you've got to come see. Now, initially, Nathanael was like, I don't think so. No, it's not from Nazareth. The Messiah is not supposed to come from that. No, I don't think so. But Philip says, come see for yourself. And when he comes and experiences the supernatural presence of God, which was the word of knowledge that Jesus had actually seen where he was, he's immediately changed from an unbeliever to a believer. The presence of God can do unbelievable things, and it can change hearts just like that. So let me encourage you, even when people are unsure or skeptical about church, if you've invited them and said, come see for yourself, lives can be changed by the presence of God. I'm going to say to this to you, those that when you invite, if someone says, yes, I want to come, you should be praying that they'll experience God's presence. Because God's presence is what we need. And it's the greatest thing possible. And I can tell you this, Holy Spirit is always wanting to speak to give you something more. To say, hey, I see you, I know you, I want you here. You see, God always has something good in store. Let's keep going. Luke 14, 21. You see, here is a really good story by Jesus. He's actually telling the people a story to explain God's kingdom. And he explains the beginning of the story. He says there is a lord, in other words, a fairly wealthy guy who's going to have a banquet. And he invites all his friends to come to the banquet. I want them all to come to the banquet. And the servant goes and invites them all. And then literally the before the banquet's going to happen, they all start giving excuses why they can't come. And the servant goes back to the master of the house and says, well, they've all decided they can't come. One says he's bought some oxen and, you know, he's got to go use them so he can't come. Another one said he just got married. Another one said, you know, he bought a piece of land, he bought a field. Excuses why not to come. Now, interesting, Jesus used things that were appropriate to that day and age why they couldn't come. Well, no, I got a lot of work to do. You know, I got married. That can happen any season. I bought some oxen. Nobody here is buying oxen. How about I got a new truck? Well, I just bought a tractor, and, you know, I got to go work the field. So these people that gave excuses seemed to be fairly well off in the sense of what they were doing, but they all, no, we're not coming. It's not important to us. You know, can I say something right now? Church has to be important enough to you that you make time for it. Time for church doesn't mysteriously happen. You make time for it. You fight for time to get there. You see, church and meeting with the Lord and his people should be number one on your list, not number 10, because if it's number 10, I guarantee you the enemy will have number 1 through 9 happening every weekend so you don't come. Church happens because you make it happen. You make time. Now, so the servant comes to the Lord of the house and says, none of them want to come. So the Lord of the house says, well, let's just cancel the event. You guys have read this story, some of you. You know that's not what it says. So he comes, servant comes to the Lord of the house and says, nobody wants to come. So the Lord of the house says, well, go and ask them 5 more times. You know, give them whatever they want. No, that's not what this story says either. We could really get into some preaching here. The story says, right here in Luke 14:21, let me read it. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Wow. This is Jesus talking about how his kingdom works. And he was talking to some people who were actually mad that Jesus spent time with sinners and publicans, and he had the rough and the down and outers coming, and he was explaining to them why. You guys decided you didn't want to come. I'm going to just say this to you right now as your pastor, and for you, if you've been inviting someone who just has no desire, they could care less, go find some people who want to be here and need to be here. Because there are people who need his presence. There are people who need the presence of God to change them. There's people who are broken and hurting. There's people that you meet every day that are putting a smile on, but behind that smile, they are crushed. And guess what? You and I have the answer. Go invite them. As a pastor, if there's a longtime church person who is could really care less about the mission of helping people find and follow Jesus, they come to me, well, if you don't do it the way I like, I'm leaving. I'll be like, bye. I'll go invite 5 more people who want to be here. You see, church isn't about our preference and what we love, and boy, you should do it the way we did it 10 years ago. Church is about reaching the lost and hurting people, and church is about bringing them to fill the house. Who wanted the house full? The servant? No, the Lord of the house. The Lord we serve wants his house full, and not just this one, every church that honors his name, he wants it full. And how was his plan to get it full? The servant would go out, and one version says, compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. You guys, we are the servant in the story. His house gets full when we go invite people. Not because he desires it, because we are obedient servants and we compel people to come in. So how do you compel people to come in? Well, let me give you an example. I'll give you an example of how to compel people and how not to compel people. Okay, so let's see. So I work with this guy. He's a little rough. His name is Tim. Okay, this is a made-up story, by the way. Tim is not rough. But anyways, you know, but I've been feeling, you know, I need to invite this guy to church because he's struggling with life. Like, I can feel it behind his fake smile. I'm like, hey, man, you need to come to church with me. You know, in the story of the thing, it was a big banquet, right? You need this. If you come, man, there's answers. Like, in the spirit, you're going to feel a change. You know, maybe you're feeling lonely. There's other people there. You know, so you got to come. Okay? And, you know, the times are this. I got a card here with a QR code. You can find all the times in case you forget. But if you want, I can pick you up. You need me to pick you up? Yeah, I'll pick you up. I'm You're like, oh, you're too pushy. No, I'm compelling him to come because I know he needs to come. And he's like, I think I'll come just because if I don't, this guy's never going to leave me alone. You know, whatever the reason. And I pick him up and I bring him. Okay, and here's how not to do it. Hey, I was just wondering if, you know, sometime maybe, like you don't have to, but you know, maybe you want to come to my church. Like, I don't really like it that much. I don't go that often, but you know, if you want, he is never coming to my church. Compelling people is because you already believe it's important. And if you're inviting them and they're like, well, don't you only go on Easter and Christmas? Oops. You need to be passionate about what you're inviting. You need to believe it. And then invite, compel them to come in. Why do we want to compel them to come in? Because they need him. You see, people who make time for church invite others. And they do this because they understand being involved in a local church is how we are a part of God's kingdom right here and now. Jesus was talking about his kingdom that had already begun, not just heaven. Sometimes we see those stories only as a heaven story, but they're not. The here and now and then in heaven. So invite them. Statistics tell us this, that nearly 80% of people come to faith or become Christian because they have been invited to church by someone they know. 80% of every person who says yes to following Jesus, 80% were invited by someone they know to church. You want your family to get saved? You want your friends to get saved? Invite them to church. Invite them to come with you. All right. You got that point. Let me move to the next point. You can invite people to church. That's how you bring them on your journey. You can also bring others on the journey by teaching them what you know. I can be with a coffee. You're talking to people. You're letting them see what you know. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul is telling Timothy, you got to pass on what you know. Pass it to those around you. You automatically bring them on your journey by giving them what you know, what you understand. This is something anybody can do. You're like, well, I don't know very much. He just said, pass what you know. If you don't know something, someone asks you a question, say, I don't know. It's that easy. You don't have to be a theologian to pass on what you know. You just pass on what you know. Colossians 3:16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Sounds a little bit like a life group. So you pass on what you know. You get filled up with the fullness of Christ. Pass on what you know. Just start giving out what you have, and I guarantee you, according to Scripture, the Lord will give you more. When you begin with what you have, he always brings in more. Matthew 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. When you are faithful with what he's given, he always gives more. That's a principle. It's not just a principle for offering or finance. It is a life principle. What you give out that he's given you, he gives more back. So for you and I, practically, what does that look like? You're having coffee with someone and they're asking questions and you just share what you know. Maybe it's a Bible study. Maybe it's just a good conversation over the phone. Maybe it's teaching in kids ministry or youth, or maybe leading a life group. But you begin to share what you know. And the best way to find out if you know anything is to start sharing. Did you know when people ask you questions because you're sharing, boy, it makes you want to find out, doesn't it? I've found that people that begin to learn the most are people that are in a spot where people are asking them what they know. So put yourself in that spot and watch what God will do. So bring others on your journey by talking about your journey, what you're going through, what you're doing, how God answered your prayer, and what you know. Thirdly, you can bring others on this journey by inviting them to serve with you. Matthew 20, 26, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve, and those who follow him are called to serve in some way. The gifts that you've been given, they're to be used to serve those around you. So in other words, as a believer, we are all called to service in some way. So serving is what we do. Why not bring others with you in how you serve, whatever that might be? And obviously, as the pastor, I think of some of the serving opportunities here, but there's serving opportunities way beyond these walls. How do you serve? What's your passion? And then you invite others on the journey with you where you serve. Simple one. Well, you like to greet at the front door and you have a good friend and you know he'd be awesome at it. Ask the person in charge of welcome teams, hey, I want to bring Joe with me next week to help. I know he'd be good at it. Bring him. Inviting people to serve with you is the most real thing you can do. You see, just head knowledge or talking about it can just be words, but actually getting involved matters. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. In other words, come do what I do. That's kind of what discipling is about. Come do what I do. He says it again in Philippians 3, 17. My friends, I want you to follow my example and learn from others who closely follow the example we set for you. Hey, that's how it works. Ask people to come alongside what you do and they'll learn. You see, people learn how to follow and serve the Lord best when you and I bring them with us and show them how. How many times have you heard talk or you've gone online and listened to the YouTube thing about it and you've done all those things and yet when you actually really get it is when you get involved. Every time getting involved helps you to really understand the mission. For a number of years before I was a pastor, I was in carpentry work but also in evangelism and I learned so much about ministry, not from a book, but from other guys who were on the field doing it, setting up tents and working with street people, doing whatever was necessary. I learned it right there with them. So what about you? Who can you bring along to serve with you? And if you're not serving yet, then who can you come alongside to begin so that you can have others come with you? It's easy. And it is so rewarding, so fulfilling. When you've been given a gift and a passion and you start to use it for the Lord, it is the most fulfilling thing ever. You're like, I didn't think I had purpose before. I do have purpose now. I felt useless. I'm not useless. God even wants to use me. And God will use anybody who says yes. Anybody. You see, we bring others on this journey, obviously, by introducing them to Jesus. This could have been the first on the list, but at some point, we want to introduce people to being able to follow Jesus. Here at church, we say a prayer if someone's believing, but it's that beginning step of following him. And there's an amazing story that we have read before, obviously, in church, but it's the story of the woman at the well. And it's outside of Samaria, there's a well. And Jesus sits at the well, and there's a woman that comes to draw water, and all of his disciples have gone into the city to get some food. And he has a conversation with her, and he tells her that if you'd asked me for water, like I have the living water, and then he tells her a little bit about her life. He says, go bring your husband and come talk. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right, the guy you're with now isn't your husband, and you know there's been five before. She is blown away and decides, okay, if this guy can see prophetically, Jesus is real, he's real, he's the one. And in verse 28 of chapter 4, John 4, 28, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Wow. this woman ends up seeing an entire city changed and following Jesus because she was not afraid to go and tell them, you got to come see Jesus. I don't know if you understand what a big change that was in her, because she was going to get water from the well in the afternoon when nobody else would be there. She was a woman who didn't want to see anybody or talk to anybody. The other women obviously despised her because she's been with this many men. And she obviously felt horrible herself. So she came when nobody else would be there to see her or talk to her. And then she was probably going to go back to her house where nobody would see her. But she has an encounter with the presence of Jesus. Supernatural encounter. And she goes from that supernatural encounter and ends up seeing a city transformed because she is now this bold lady. And can I say this? A messed up woman heads and says, you have got to see Jesus. This is what he did for me. You better go check it out. You see, you don't need to know half the Bible. You just need to say, this is what he did for me. Come check it out. And she does, and they come streaming. And if you go further down in the chapter to verse 39, it says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Wow. So let me say this, if a messed up woman can see an entire city change just because she gets passionate and says, come see what he did for me, what about you and I? You see, there's the potential in this room to see our entire community come in. But do you know what he's done for you? Are you passionate about it? If you are, tell somebody. And when they see the change in you, they're going to want to come check this out. This must be real. You've changed. Let me check it out. You see, our mission here at our church is that we exist to help people find and follow Jesus. Why is that so important? Because we know that when people find and follow Jesus, they are made new. They're forgiven, they're freed, and they start to fully live as they were created to do. We don't just ask people to find and follow Jesus to fill up a chair. We want them to experience a transformed life with him. And it begins with you and I being willing to bring others on the journey with us. You see, when we introduce people to Jesus, they receive the opportunity to live an abundant life that Jesus has laid out for them. It doesn't mean it's always easy. That doesn't mean there's never a problem. But you begin in the plan and the path that he has chosen, and it is a good life. So let me wrap up here today by doing what we do almost in every service. And it's this, to explain salvation. What is it when you talk about salvation? It's simply giving people the opportunity to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I want him to forgive me, and I want to follow him. You see, Jesus came and he died on a cross. He hung there. He bled. He was beaten. He was bruised for us to take out sin so that we could have a right relationship with the Father once again. And with that right relationship with the Father, we enter that life of following Jesus and one day heaven when we pass away. And then he made it as simple as could be to receive. In Romans 10:9, we read so easily, so clear, if you believe it in your heart. He didn't say if you understand it all with your brain. He didn't say if you got everything figured out. He said if you're believing this, you're feeling this in your heart right now, just use your mouth. That's what it means to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So we're going to do that today. Maybe there's one here who has not prayed yet to say, God, I want you. I want to be saved. So I'm going to ask you all to repeat this simple prayer after me for that one or two today who might be like, I got to do this. So let's do it now. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now, forgive me for all my sin. Make me new. Use my life. Today, I choose to follow you. Amen. Give him praise for that, church. It is good.